you have another one of these?
I can get you a chair.
Oh, sure.
All right, I'll call this meeting to order of the Champaign County Nursing Home Board of Directors. Roll call, please.
Sutton?
Here.
Banks?
Here.
Busey?
Here.
Emanuel?
Here.
Hardke?
Here.
Hodson?
Here.
Anderson?
Here. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved. Second.
Move and second. Any discussion? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Do we have a motion on the approval of the minutes from October 2nd, 2017?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Move on to public participation. Is there any public participation this evening? Recognize Pius Weibel. Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'm Pius Weibel, Champaign, Elfolk County Board Chair. Talk about a couple issues tonight. One is the terms of some of your board members. If I would have been following the calendar, I would have had me introducing new board members tonight. But I did not do that. A couple reasons. One, I wanted to let the new managing company come into place and get adjusted to the board. So, and also the bylaws of the board imply that board members could serve to the end of the term, or possibly, I said or possibly, it doesn't say or, it's maybe, they can serve until they are replaced. I'm going with the latter. So I'm asking you, if your term ends tonight, would you please plan on staying until January? By that time, we'll have new board members in place. I also can announce that there are three board members whose terms end. One is Kathy. You're at the end of the road. You have to leave. Mr. Banks, you can serve one more term if you want to, and Mr. Sutton, you can serve two more terms. Also, I've been looking at the mission statement and also the bylaws and things like that of the County Nursing Home Board of Directors. It was last updated in 2013, was the original written about 10 years ago, either 2007 or 2008. I don't quite remember the exact date. I think it's time that perhaps the board should go back and look at those and revise them. Primary, it's been 5 years also to fit the, say, the new management. The original bylaws and revisions were done with the previous management, and I think it's time that we try to see how they best sync with the current management. I would suggest you go back and look at the primary functions of the board. You guys should delegate. Some of these maybe really, really weren't important from what throughout its history. Maybe therefore you should maybe push those aside or better define them and think about what have you done successfully. Maybe perhaps emphasize those. Also, you might be concerned about how often you need. Do you need to meet once a month? Maybe every 2 months or something like that. Those are all things you should consider. Well, I hope you take this seriously. I think that there's still a need for the board, but it's just every now and then it's time to do a self-evaluation and try to maybe that's just do it. Also, of course, those suggestions would have to go to the county board. The county board don't have to approve those. Although I think if you approve them, there's no reason why the county board would not approve them. And then certainly you can ask me a question. There's at least one skeptic here. Certainly you can ask me questions anytime after the meeting. I'd be happy to answer them. And thank you very much for serving on the board. And one other item, there's some question that I think previous meeting, or actually 2 meetings ago, whether or not a county board member could interject within the county board meeting. No, they cannot. County board members like me should only talk during public participation. Or if the board chair asks them to speak. However, they should not like raise their hand and say, can I speak? So tell them to the board chair to bring them up to the assembly to speak. And that's it. Thank you.
have any other people who want to participate in public participation? Hearing none, we'll move on to communications. Does any of the board members have any communications?
Well, Kathy and I both serve on the Friends of Champaign County Nursing Home Board or Committee. And per Susie's request and suggestion, the Champaign County Nursing Home Friends are putting on an art fair. Will be on the 25th of February. It's a Sunday afternoon. I believe the hours are 2 to 5. And we've put out a call to artists who will be able to display their wares, whether it be a typical art that hangs on the wall or it could be a craft of some sort, pottery, whatever. There will also be demonstrations of intergenerational type art going on, and we'll have music. The Almost Day Trio is going to perform again. Riggs Beer is providing samples. Apparently we have approval for that. We are told we have approval for this by the marketing consultant for SAK. Checked and says we have approval for Riggs Beer to provide samples. She's also working with a winery to see if we can have a winery come in as well. So it's going to be quite an affair. What have I forgotten, Kathy? So if any of you know any artists, you know, we could have jewelry, whatever. You know, there'll be no charge to the artists to set up a booth. And they'll be able to sell their ware as well as to display it.
And we've already had 4 artists commit. So.
Oh, more than that, I think. Yeah.
So can I make a comment?
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done with this in the past and why I suggested it was that I was hoping that we could have artists, before this even occurs, display their artwork throughout the nursing home mm-hmm. prior to it so that we could really not only just get that day of a push for people to come in, but maybe for a whole month before that people could come in, take a look at the art, and, you know, auction off their, you know, put yeah. prices up on
that. That issue was discussed at our meetings extensively, and the only concern is the insurance question. So if you provide the insurance to protect the works during that entire time, there's no problem.
That's what the artists.
No, that was our discussion at our meeting, that we're concerned about the county's liability, our liability.
Because artists do that all the time in restaurants and things, so maybe we can find out.
That's something we can find out, yeah.
Because if you go through, actually, I think the Courier Cafe does it. There's a whole bunch of different places.
Sure, but we just don't have the answer to that. So that's why we were going to limit it to one day. But if you find out something that's helpful.
I just want to get the maximum exposure
yeah.
of marketing of whatever we
sure.
can get. So,
I appreciate your announcing that. And I'm sure you'll follow up on all the particulars. So thank you. Any other communications? And we'll move on to management update. Under item A, management practice of regulating Medicaid admissions and payer mix balance update. I had put that on there based upon some information I'd received, and afterwards I did some follow-up and found out that, the nursing home has no restrictions on Medicaid or Medicaid patients or admissions. The nursing home accepts all. There was a misunderstanding, and it will get cleared up, I'm sure. There was a thought that there was a waiting list or something to that effect. And I talked with Susie, and she assured me that was not the case, and all Medicaid applicants are welcome to apply and be here at the home.
At one time, we were told that we were not accepting Medicaid pending. Now, has that changed? Or?
So I think that what we're doing and every nursing home in the state is doing is that as long as that there's some source of payer, at all, then we'll accept the Medicaid pending, but every Medicaid pending is evaluated to be sure that there's some kind of a payer source, you know, at that point.
So in other words, if there were a backup source, then they could possibly come in as Medicaid pending.
Yep.
Okay, good to know. Thank you very much.
And maybe I make a comment to that too. On a waiting list, we have to remember we have a dementia unit here. And the dementia unit, I think it's 20 beds. And oftentimes someone may commence Medicaid, but when we look at all of their history, if they have a history of wandering and maybe they would be unsafe in an environment that wasn't secured, we then might have to say that, you know, there would be a waiting list for a bed in that mm-hmm. secured unit mm-hmm. for safety reasons.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other discussion on that item then? And we'll move on to October finances under item B, first one. We've received a communication from all board members, and I forwarded it to this board as well, the advisory board. From the county administrator that DFS had deducted 2 months of unpaid bed taxes. And I was curious on why they were deducting. And does that be because we were behind?
Yeah. And so I want to introduce, I didn't have the opportunity, but this is Flora Resnick. Flora is our director of finances for SAK. And Flora actually handles Champaign County. She oversees everybody that works on it. So from a financial perspective, she can answer all questions regarding that. So do you want to answer?
Absolutely. Bed tax issue. Bed tax says you want public aid request you to pay. And there were delays in summertime. And it was requested to pay 2 months the same past due in October. And that's exactly what was deducted from the voucher.
Okay, we're current then as of now?
We're constantly current. You were not behind as a facility. You paid what IDGF requested you to pay.
That's good news.
That's it. I applied and completed all the paperwork in August to make sure you are in compliance.
Being behind didn't surprise me when I saw it, well, a little bit, but what concerned me was the unpredictability of when they come to retrieve it.
What they usually do, that is based on how behind state is paying providers.
It's not unusual.
So if they're falling behind, they delay the bad tax payments to them. Mm-hmm.
And it's just
very much
more so tight month to month that you get unexpected withdrawal of those funds, mm-hmm. and then suddenly you're off from what you expected.
Right.
So that
was nothing unusual. That was expected. Right. Didn't take us by surprise.
And I think it was a small amount, right? It was a rather small amount.
Okay, in the administrator, are there any other questions about that? Let's move on then through the agenda for under item two, the Molina Healthcare MOC outstanding receivables. There was mention that they still owed 150, and we weren't sure when that was going to come in.
As of updates from today from Molina, they're still processing the payments. They acknowledge the receipt of all the claims for September and October. But according to the contract that the nursing home has with Molina, they have 60 days to issue a payment. So according to the contract, they're still within that window, and they're not past due on the payments to the nursing home.
It's kind of stretched a little bit.
They have every single right to do so.
I understand.
But we follow up with them every other day to make sure the nursing home gets paid.
So there was a significant amount of money that came in today on behalf of the state of Illinois, borrowed significant amounts of money in the billions of dollars. I heard something like $9 billion, and I was told by the comptroller personally that it was $2.5 billion, but a source today, and I actually didn't get to read the full email, but that monies came into the state today based on the borrowings. I could get you the exact amount.
So what does that mean to us?
So what that'll mean is anything that's behind in the Medicaid managed care from any of the providers from those should be paying that at least there'll be money to pay. So
Molina in particular got $118 million from the state to pay providers. like nursing
today,
home.
Right?
Yes. Basically, what it means to the nursing home that insurance companies won't have a reason not to pay you claims due to lack of funds from the state, which is a good sign.
Yes.
And so how much, what would that, what would that be for us, do you think? Is it what's stated
monthly
here on the AR?
From Molina is $152,000.
And would that also include just regular Medicaid, too, or just the Medicaid managed care?
It's just the managed Medicaid piece.
Okay.
Traditional Medicaid, you got funds from the Medicaid office, from the state control.
Right. So we get payments. So here, I just... following payments were made by the Comptroller's Office to the MCOs today. Aetna got $383 million. Blue Cross Blue Shield got $382 million. Align Eye Care got $342 million. Meridian got $341 million. FHN got $168 million. Molina got $118 million. Harmony, $82 million. Humana, $45 million. Cigna, $45 million. And Next Level got $18 million. So all of that was paid today to the MCOs. That's huge.
So there are any more questions on item 11 for the last one? That's the status of routes.
Yes, questions about accounts receivable.
Oh, yeah.
On the accounts receivable, the Medicaid, so see if I understand this right. So the state pay the MCOs, and from Molina, at least on the accounts receivable aging, we're like $350,000 that they owe us amongst all the Molina. It doesn't matter. My question is, I'm trying to understand the accounts receivable versus the Medicaid applications pending, because I know that we really had two problems for a while with the state. One of them was behind payments, but some of it was also that they weren't processing the applications.
Right.
So those weren't even counted as accounts receivable yet because...
So that's separate.
Right, it's separate.
Yeah.
So I just wondered what the situation was with that as well.
So we don't know if the state's going to end up paying for that. It's probably a good possibility because the state's never gotten this much money in the last year or so. So I don't know what the comptroller is going to do with that. I don't know how the money is going to get distributed. But we know for a fact this is what got distributed today in the Medicaid managed care.
I just wondered if we knew how many applications are still pending to be processed. Because that was one of the delays, is that they weren't processing our Medicaid applications.
Right.
And I wondered if
we're not seeing a huge increase in approvals. Currently, nursing home has 19 active Medicaid pendings in the building.
19?
19. But coordinator Sue is going to the office tomorrow to review every single application she has the work in process. I expect to get updates from her before the week is over, and I'll be able to share later.
And
weeks.
Plus, we had two contracts that were that are with Barb Mann right now, the state's attorney.
How many?
Three. Sorry, we have three contracts sitting with Barb Mann right now. So one is for the group S4, and that's for the Medicaid pending that we talked about, that lobbyist group. And so everything was submitted for approval to Barb on the contract language and everything, so we're waiting for her to get back to us on that. The second one, we interviewed several companies, and we gave a recommendation of a group that we thought would do a good job on just all the AR that we talked about, all the private pay.
Including the private pay?
All the peer source.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I think they're most qualified and know the industry and know the state and all the ins and outs.
It's not been finalized yet, so.
Yeah, it's not finalized, but Flora interviewed really
a lot of
companies.
Because I'm all into seeing results. I don't believe in wasting time, money, and energy not seeing results. And I think they will be able to show real difference to this moment.
So Barb also has that contract that we're waiting for.
And then Flora also did another contract, which she had really done on her own without me asking. And you, why don't you tell them what you did for this one? This is a really great idea.
So we think it's time for nursing home to offer payments by credit card, to start accepting payments by credit card or direct debit. So I interviewed a few companies as well, and I think I found the best solution that this facility will benefit from, because you have quite a substantial private pay population. Very reasonably priced, very efficient, simple to use. I think it will help your cash flow cycle and improve collections. It's like a great idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yep. So that's long overdue, and I think by offering that as an option, I think for many people, they would prefer to do that. So it gives us, so all three contracts were
with Barb,
and we're waiting for her to approve them.
So as you said, your intent with the first two contracts is to recover some of the accounts receivable.
The way we look at AR, we want to make sure that past due AR is looked into, worked by firm that's most qualified. That will cover all accounts receivable 180 and older. That will enable your resources here and our billing resources to focus more on current. Pending, no biller, no most of your staff here will be able to show much progress without the push of S4. That will help you with quicker approval of Medicaid pending, so you can see improvement to your cash flow. And to improve with private, that most of the billers from outside this office won't be successful. We believe that credit cards as form of payment will help, because you'll be able to offer not only single payments, you'll be able to offer payment plans to be accepted by credit cards, or recurring payments for monthly going forward. So we believe all this at once will help. It will help this resource, your billing office here, to focus on the current. It will take away the pressure from the past, from them, that they can move forward and save our billers, and then we will be able to manage the process, and with consistent follow-up and review of that process, we'll be able to deliver results.
But just to clarify, I think all that all sounds absolutely wonderful, but just to clarify, you have an expectation that for the first two contracts, they will at least recover something.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. The way we did interview, we present them not releasing any information on patients in a bulk, and they said they definitely can do it. Because we made sure that they work all the payers, that they currently have accounts in Illinois, and they have good success rate and collection rate. And they're reasonable price, better than anyone else that we interviewed.
And if anybody, if you say we can't say at this point, that's fine. Is there any estimate of what the range of recovery rate is?
We won't be able to say that.
Okay, that's fine.
Because we didn't.
I just want to make sure that we all agree we can't say that.
Of your past due practices,
yeah.
And what exactly is in the aging.
Right. Okay. So what they'll do is they'll look at it, they'll evaluate it, they'll let us know once they take a look at it, but we didn't give them.
Right.
That we interviewed, the companies, but we didn't give them the data, but we described everything and went through it in detail and told them what we thought we had. But, once they get their hands on it, because there's going to be a lot of confidential information that we, want them to have.
And
so
that second company, you said it would be for all payers, commercial, but would it also be for the Medicaid, or is the Medicaid strictly the S4 contract, or is the S4 really just on the Medicaid pending?
S4 is just Medicaid pending.
Okay. So the if you get the contract with the other one, it would even be pursuing Medicare and Medicaid as well as commercial?
Everything that's 180 days and
great.
Older.
Okay.
So mostly stuff that was prior to our time.
Okay. Thanks. That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking that when you do find out what they anticipate their recovery rate to be, if you can share that with the, I imagine you share it with the interim county administrator when that happens, so they can have a sense of the dollars they can expect to be coming back in, considering the size of the accounts payable.
Right. So I think, though, anything would be an estimate. You know, anything that we would do, it, you know, they would, I don't think anybody, you know, they'll give you an estimate, but I don't think they want to, yeah. I mean, because it all depends.
The accounts are very old.
Right.
Right. And they're old. They're all types of collections as far as some are very hard and some of them are cheesier.
That was the main reason why we demanded this particular firm to the council, because they have enough resources to attack that aging small business. Because the expectations that we present, we want every account to be looked into and attempted to be collected. And if it's not collectible, we want to know the reason. So we can be transparent and explain exactly what you were carrying in your books. I can tell you from my experience from the past, usually companies of this nature ask for at least a year of nonstop work on the account before they can tell you exactly what is collectible and what is not. I don't want you to think that we'll be able to give you an estimate just next meeting. Unfortunately, that is not the reality. I want you to know that, because, but we want this account to be worked on.
Because they have to evaluate it, they have to, you know, really get into it and research and see. But they have a good reputation, and they make money if we make money.
Right. Right.
It's a mutual, you know, everybody's got their aligned, you know, we're all aligned in that. So they'll do everything they can to collect.
Other questions on that topic? And then the last one would be item 3, status of outstanding payable accounts payable. You know, I remember, I guess, a couple of years ago or so, in a meeting, there was a discussion here about a concern I had, certainly, about our ability to pay our vendors and whether or not we could continue to provide a quality service. That theme has come up periodically. Considering the size of our account payables, and our vendors now there's a longevity here of time passing. Well, I don't see any great infusion of cash anytime soon. Can we anticipate, and what are you dealing with right now? Give some sense of what you're having to deal with to satisfy these vendors. I assume they're calling a lot. They want paid.
Yeah.
And we need their services to.
So just so you know, you're not the only one. I mean, right. You know, these vendors, they live this throughout the state of Illinois. This is a difficult time in healthcare right now, and the state of Illinois, unfortunately, is really a tough state. So the vendors that hopefully know, and the bigger vendors are working with us, and we're very honest. You know, we tell them that we're going to do everything we can. We're going to work with them. We set
and
up.
And they are willing to work with those who call.
Right.
They are understanding the nature of the business, and they believe that they will be able to continue the relationship.
I mean, you know, we
didn't have any major concerns that we heard from vendors. They understand what's happening, and they're happy. We're trying to start paying them, and they're working with us.
And if they know that we can give them even a little bit, just so that they know that they're getting something, and that's really what we're trying to do. You know, the county did make some payment arrangements with some vendors prior to us coming. And we've tried to maintain that. Obviously, payroll always comes first, no matter what. So we always want to make sure that is always taken care of. And then we go and look at the accounts payable. And I know Flora oversees that from all the billers and everything.
And I can tell you my belief that open communication will help you tremendously. If we can't make the payment, we communicate with them. And we say we'll be able to make payment on such and such, and we make sure, though, that we do that. That's all it takes. We are both parties working together.
I don't think we've had anybody that's downright from this facility except for when we first walked in, that therapy company. But they actually now have been great to work with. I know that we've developed a really good relationship. We told them we got to work together. They've got to help us increase the revenues.
Yeah. They're very involved in a marketing plan and doing some things starting January for the community.
Yeah, we brought them in. And so that's what we've done. We've tried to partner with the people. You know, it's like almost a frenemy. You know, you keep your friends and your enemies close. So we're trying to keep everybody aligned together so that we can walk out positively from everything. And we've been, things have been really good that way. I don't think we've had anyone really, really nasty.
I think the point you made that is important to recognize is that we're not unique in this. I mean, there are other nursing homes suing the state because of the same problem. All the vendors then who are selling to nursing homes are finding the same thing with the rest of their nursing homes. We only see our perspective, but if you are in the nursing home industry, as you are, you see that Champaign County is not failing any more than other nursing homes are failing.
Right.
It's a very tough industry. We don't see the financial statements for other privately owned nursing homes, but you'd see them in similar situations, which is why the vendors are willing to work with us, because they have to work with all nursing homes.
And I think that if they don't work with you, there's always the prospect that they're seeing, and now some of these privately held facilities are filing bankruptcy. And the last thing they want is for that to occur. So we always try to tell them, please don't push us. So to the point where we won't be able to do anything, that's not going to happen here, but in other facilities. And there are facilities that are filing bankruptcy now all over the state. So, you know, if they see that we're working with them and they respect us, I think that will go a long way.
Can't imagine how tough of a business it is to deal with nursing homes. You know?
It is.
Suddenly you're a million maybe, and you're not that big, but people owe you. Your employees do. It's just tough all around.
It's the hardest thing, believe me.
That ends that portion I had inserted, but there's still the opportunity for the management update. Is there anything that you wanted to address this evening?
So I think that, you know, obviously we've been here now a little bit longer than just a few months. So we're getting to know everyone, and I think everyone is kind of gelling. You know, we've been meeting with the union on a regular basis. Joyce and I met with them today. And, you know, we are committed, and we told them that we're committed and working things out together. Everybody's committed in doing this as a team. And, you know, there's little things in the road here and there. But I think that what's really exciting is that the census is going up. And we have great relations, I think, with the hospitals. Kathy was hopeful in getting us a meeting at the Carl Clinic. And Joyce and I attended that meeting, and it was a wonderful meeting with the hospitals, and I think that we presented a good update of where we were at and what we were doing.
Another one being scheduled, so the follow-up is getting scheduled.
And so I think that, and we had some really terrific doctors that attended that seemed to be really interested in all the things that we were doing, and we told them what we would like, they told us what they would like, so I think that was a good thing. We're getting admissions from all of the local hospitals now. I think that we've hired a marketing person. I think we talked about that. Maybe it was last month or the month, and she's really she's gotten her feet on the ground. She's out there. Our marketing consultant is working very, very closely with her. Together, we actually have a great program with the university. That we have a class, a marketing class at the university that is going to be using us as their project. So they're putting together They're going to be putting together marketing plans for us, and I think we're going to go out and do everything. We're going to do website. We're going to do everything. We've talked to the professor a few different times. So in January, the class, we are going to attend the class. We're going to meet them, and it's going to be a great opportunity because these kids are going to have the opportunity to work on a client like they would in an ad agency. So that's very exciting.
And a lot of things are starting January 1. And one is that we now have contracted with getting a dentist that will be coming here, will be seeing the residents. You know, we've got the beautiful dental clinic back there. We've not had the dentist. That's occurring. And then three of the main diagnoses for residents going back to the hospital is usually to do with congestive heart failure, chronic obstructive lung disease, pneumonia. And at one point in time, there was a pulmonologist that did make rounds here. And so last week we met with him, and Dr. Sheik, I believe is his name. Mm-hmm. And so he's starting back in early January. We'll be making rounds, and we're going to get that respiratory program. For whatever reason, I'm not sure. I've heard many, many different stories as to why it didn't go anyplace and why he stopped coming. But now we've got that program up, and we'll start in January. And the therapy department is working closely with us to start a balanced program that we'll be offering to the community to help highlight our outpatient therapy. So a lot of things
going on, and we're looking forward to hopefully hitting our budget. I think we were very, very close to hitting the census number. We've had a few people now go to the hospital, but I think it's growing. I think it's really
exciting.
And we
lost six nurses over the past probably 5 weeks. We were told part of the reason two or three left because they thought that the nursing home would be on the sale block, so they went other places. A couple went back to school. So that's been a real problem getting those replenished, replaced. That now has those positions are filled. We're going through, you know, everybody has to have that period of orientation depending on their skill set as a nurse. If they've been a nurse for 25 years and they've worked in long-term care, they may only need 3-4 days of orientation. If we get someone, maybe it's a hospital nurse that's got great clinical skills, but she doesn't understand the long-term care process, it takes a little more orientation. But so those, I think the last two positions will actually start orienting next week. So we're back up with getting the staff where it should be.
Yeah, so I think we're on the road to now really moving forward with everything. And you know, we're looking forward to being able to move forward.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you tell us the Medicare census as of today? Okay, I was just looking at page 5, and that's September. So was there a later figure given?
It was just in the note that it said census.
I think there's
7 Medicare.
Eight.
Thank you.
So that's gone up. And I think we were higher than that.
You were higher than that.
Yeah, you were.
That was 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. That's the way Medicare goes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go
home.
But the good thing is it's getting cold, and, you know, we're going to start having some admissions on that for sure. So I think come the winter, the census will for sure.
I think you're going to have the ongoing quality committee with both Carl and Presence. They're just coming up with another date, so I think that will help.
I was really happy, and they seemed to be really committed, and I think they were very interested in what we were saying to them.
And thank you for the meeting.
Yeah,
excellent.
You were very thoughtful in setting that
job and guiding the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to add to Medicare. You were on April 13 in October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're too early in the month to say, okay, we're flat at 8.
Right. So that was great, yeah.
So 13 was an average.
Yeah.
13.16.
Thank you.
Almost double.
I know.
Yeah, that's really that's great.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions on page 3 of the materials that you handed us. One of them is the environmental services line. You show a great reduction in September and attribute it to electric service. What specifically caused that large a change?
Well, I guess it's weather.
Yes.
It's just
weather.
Just the
actual reading.
Okay. I had the same thing in my house.
We're not on a level payment plan.
Well, I there was a payment plan that was negotiated on behalf of the county, so there was something that was just.
But that goes into effect later this year.
Our facilities committee did pass that. The countywide did get into some aggregation where we're going to have our overall county power bill reduced per kilowatt hour.
Right. I was aware of that.
Okay, then I have a question on the line below it. You showed additional expense for equipment.
Yeah.
And what was that related to?
Something near and dear to all of us, the doors.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was the doors and the security system and the whole thing.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions of management?
But one more. I know you're getting ready for a survey. I know you've been doing some work.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea?
We're in the window.
Yeah.
And I think probably the most difficult thing is, you know, you want to say, I'm ready for survey any day of the week, and my management style is the same any day of the week. And it's been a little difficult. I don't want to say like the honeymoon is over, but it's been a little bit difficult. Some of the department managers, you know, are trying to hold the staff accountable for some of the procedures and the process as to how they do things, because it's the right thing and it's the requirement. And so that's probably our biggest obstacle, is getting staff to understand it's not that we want you to do it this way. It's the right way, and it's the expectation. And I think some of those things have not been adhered to in the past. I think it's more so probably not, there's some in nursing, but also some of the ancillary departments. They just had not had that kind of leadership that said, this is the way it has to be done. So we're working on that. But
And we actually did just hire a risk manager.
Yes.
For the facility. There is a change in regulations that is going to occur November 28th.
And phase two.
Yep. And part of that is that you must have a risk manager. This is a new regulation that just came into play all over the country. It's been a little crazy because facilities are trying to update all over. And so we either have to have one on staff or...
We need an infection control preventist. And that's someone that is considered they have to be an employee, but they can be a part-time person.
Right.
So someone that can, it's infection control is such an important piece that it's almost, the feeling is it's beyond the capability and the requirements for the director of nursing, because they have so many other things that they need to do. So we've got a person that's got the certification that will only utilize them just on a very temporary, part-time basis to meet the requirements, but then internally working in the nursing department, it's a constant thing for infection control. It sounds like such a simple thing to remind people, you gotta wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. You know, you've got all those kinds of things that you really need to do, and being mindful if someone has a cold, if you've got cold symptoms, please stay home. Watching for making sure that we're offering the flu vaccine, all those things. But everything that you do in your clinical practice, there's an infection control element to it. So
we're trying to cover all the bases.
Any other questions of management? As we close out, we've received some direction from the county board chair about updating our bylaws. So I might suggest this, that we have a month before the next meeting, and we're going to need to, everyone's going to have an opportunity to review it and participate as much as you want. But by next meeting, we'll designate who will be on that, a small committee of two or three to oversee the writing of the review of the bylaws and any updates, and work with management as well.
So I also have a suggestion about that,
sure.
too. I would suggest that before we even do anything is that maybe we let our man take a look at it, because I know that some of the we looked at it, and some of the things that were in there, I think that if you would know what you were really responsible for, you'd be a little nervous. Mm-hmm. So I think that just from a legal perspective too, there's things that I think that I don't know if she ever looked at those. Does anyone know if she ever?
The state's attorney's office reviewed the bylaws when they were adopted, but I don't believe Barb Ann was in that role at that
point. Yeah. I would suggest she could look at that.
All right. Tammy, based on that, representing the county administrator's office, I would ask that the administrator deal with Barbara directly on behalf of this advisory board.
Okay.
Ask her to review that. And get us some sense of a timeline, maybe, before the next meeting.
Okay.
Certainly, we're all welcome to read it on our own. It's, I'm sure it's good reading. I've read it before. It would be good if I read it again. And then, as I said, next meeting, we'll establish a committee to start to really hash out what needs to be done. That being said, the next meeting is Monday, December 11th. At 6 p.m. And I'll move for adjournment. Thank you all.
Change.